That was originally a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, written during the Civil War. There was no peace on earth at that time, nor is there today. Seems like everybody is looking for peace, but not finding it. I got a couple of quotes here. This one's by Lloyd Corey. Don't know who he is, but peace is the brief, glorious moment in history when everybody stands around reloading. How true. This one's by Don McLean. Washington, D.C. has a large assortment of peace monuments. We build one after every war. Yes. As I said, we're all looking for peace and finding it difficult to obtain it. But let's see what the scriptures have to say about peace. There's a lot. Very many scriptures mention peace, but I've selected some that I think are most pertinent. This one from Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus came to earth as a child, grew up, and died for our sins. But if he's the Prince of Peace, why don't we have peace? You might ask. Well, let's look at some additional scriptures. This is from Luke. And this has to do with the shepherds in the field. And suddenly there was with the angel who proclaimed his birth to the shepherds, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, you saw that in the song, goodwill toward men, but there are many translations which read, on earth peace, among people with whom he is pleased. That's the New American Standard Version. And then from the NIV, on earth peace, to those on whom his favor rests. So it would seem that there might be some qualifications or requirements to have that kind of peace. It's not just a general blanket statement, peace on earth. So there's some interpretation here relative to the scriptures. But there's more. There's more. This is from Matthew. What did Jesus himself say? "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth." Boy, now is that a contradiction or what? He's the Prince of Peace. The angels proclaim peace on earth. Okay? But he says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." Now, that was Matthew. This is Luke. Jesus again. "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." We have to understand that there's different kinds of peace. Okay? When we think of peace, the first thing that probably comes to mind is the cessation of hostility. There's no confrontation, there's no fighting or anything. That's what we typically think of when we hear the word peace. Well, Jesus did not come to bring that kind of peace. He came to bring division. Because once you get saved, there is division. People that were formerly your friends, tend to stay away. They don't want to hear what happened to you. Or even members of your own family tend to shy away if you become a little bit too vocal about your experience with Jesus. And maybe they don't want to spend too much time around you anymore. But that's the way it is. That's the kind of division that Jesus talked about bringing. Once you establish your relationship with him, okay, people suddenly turn on you. We see that in the world today. Christians have targets on their backs. The world does not like Christians. Anybody that professes faith in Jesus. So that's the kind of situation that Jesus came to bring about. He came to save souls, but the unsaved, the unbelievers, have the hostility. So let's see, there's more. This is from Romans 5:1. What kind of peace then is Jesus talking? Why is he the Prince of Peace? Well, this is why. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because before we got saved, we were enemies of God, whether we realized it or not. We were in rebellion against God. We sinned. We were sinners. We violated his laws and his commandments. We didn't think much about that. We wanted to do our own thing. And we did. We were constantly in rebellion. We were his enemies, whether we liked it or not. But he still loved us to the extent that he wanted to change that. He wanted to restore us like it was in the Garden of Eden. So he sent Jesus. And once we believe in him, we then have peace with God. That's the peace that Jesus came to establish on this earth. Not stopping wars. Not stopping people from hating us because we believe in him. But giving us peace in our hearts. Knowing that we were no longer enemies of God, we were now part of his family, welcomed into his family with open arms. And his love would abound towards us even more, having that peace in our hearts. So I think you can see it depends on how we look at the word peace, and there are different definitions of it. Yes, peace is the absence of fighting, but it is also the calm and the rest that we have in our spirits and our souls in knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior and trusting him. But even then, we don't always have peace because we worry, we fret, we're anxious about different things. So let's see what the next one says. Oh, no. Yeah, Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the peace that God wants us to have all the time. First Jesus establishes peace with God so that we're no longer his enemies. We are now in a relationship with him. We have been adopted as sons and daughters into his family. There's no more rebellion in our hearts. At least there shouldn't be. There's now relationship. We've been accepted, brought into his family. We have peace with God. But like I said, so many times we're still anxious about things. We worry. Some of us worry about where our next meal is coming from. Am I going to lose my job? What about inflation and all these, the economy and everything? It's getting more and more expensive just to live. We worry about tomorrow. What's going to happen? Or next week, or next year. When God wants us to just live each day as it comes. But yet we worry, we're anxious. And we lose that peace that God wants us to have. But there's a remedy for that. Be anxious for nothing. God is telling us, be at peace. I'll give you the peace that passes all understanding. Let go of the things that trouble you. That's the problem that many of us have. We don't know how to let go. We hold on to things. And darn, I meant to bring this today and I forgot. You know those little paddle balls that kids play with? The paddle with the little ball with the rubber thing and they just... I could never do that. I was lucky if I got to hit it twice. But that's like, that little ball is like our worries and the things that we're anxious about. Here, God, take it. Pow. And what happens? It comes right back. Because we don't truly let it go. We don't cut that little rubber band in between the ball and the paddle to let it go. And God says, you got to let it go. Release it to me. Trust me. Believe in me. I will take care of it. You're not meant to carry that burden. Jesus said, give me your burdens. He'll carry them for us. And in return, when we release them, we will have such peace in our hearts that nothing will trouble us anymore. What's more important to have? Living in a situation where nobody's fighting, but yet you're worried and nervous and you don't have peace in your own heart? There might be peace in the world, but you don't have peace in your heart? Or is it better to have peace in your heart regardless of what's going on in the world? Which is better? To have the peace in your heart, right? Because what good is peace in the world? Nobody fighting, everybody getting along and everything, and you're miserable. What good is that? It's so much better to have peace in your heart. The world could be crumbling around you, even like it is today. So many things going on in the news that might cause you to be anxious or worried or whatever. That's the work of the devil. He wants you to worry. Because when you're worrying when you're anxious, you're not trusting God. You're not drawing close to Him. You got your eyes fixed on the problem. That's no good. God doesn't want that. He wants your eyes fixed on Him. And when you let these things go, God says, you can have my peace. The world could be crumbling around you and you could be calm as anything. You could see TV and the next report of bad news or hear something on the radio or something comes your way unexpectedly. You could still have that peace in your heart because you know deep down that God is in control and He's going to take care of it. Because you can let it go, give it to Him. We have that promise that He will take care of us. Why should we worry about things? But that's the problem. We have a tendency to hang on and think that we have to take care of things ourselves. We have to solve the problems. And the Lord says it's so simple. It's the easiest thing. Just let it go. Let it go. Look to Him for the answer. Look to Him for the provision. Look to Him for whatever you need. It will come. Maybe not immediately, because sometimes these things are a little test of faith. Are you going to believe? Are you going to trust me? Even though things look bleak, are you going to trust me right to the end? That's what we need to do. And every time you do that, your faith builds so that the next time something happens, it's easier to let it go and just say, ah, God's got this. He's going to see me through. And your faith builds and it grows. And you can trust him and believe him for more and more. And then the things that go on in the world just don't bother you. Run off you like water, like off a duck's back. Doesn't bother you at all. That's the way it should be. That's the way God wants it to be. He wants you to be at peace. The world can crumble. And it is. And it will. But he wants us to be at peace. He wants us to be people of faith. He wants us to be lights in the community. And the way we can be that light is to be trusting him and have that peace in our hearts. And others will see that and say, how can you be so calm in the midst of everything that's going on? And then you can tell them so they can have that peace too. Everybody wants it, but we're the only ones that know how to get it. And we can share it. Now, as far as peace in the world is concerned, I've got one last scripture. Eventually, since he is the Prince of Peace, he will also bring peace on earth. No more fighting or wars. This is a prophecy from Isaiah and Micah also. They both say essentially the same thing, almost word for word. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. I got news for you. We're in the latter days. Okay? We're just not at the end of those latter days yet when this will happen. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. All nations. Every single one. Okay? They might not be Christian nations. They could be Islamic nations. They could be Hindu nations. Whatever religion you want to talk about, all nations will flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. The first time Jesus came, he came to bring peace with God and peace in our hearts. The second time he's coming is to bring peace on earth. No more war, no more fighting. You can't fight if you only got farming implements. You don't have swords, you got plowshares. You don't have spears, you got pruning hooks instead. If you don't have the implements of war, you can't fight. And he's going to establish his kingdom and say, no more war, no more fighting, no more. There will be peace on earth. He truly is the Prince of Peace. And we will see both aspects of that peace in due time. But for the time being, peace in our hearts. That's what he gives us. That's what he offers. That's what we need the most. Peace in our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace that you have given us. Not as the world gives, but your peace, Lord. Your peace. Help us, Lord, to appropriate that peace every single moment and every day of our lives, because that's the peace that matters the most. Help us, Lord, to truly cast all of our cares upon you, because you care for us. To be anxious for nothing, because we have the precious promises of you that you will take care of us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. You will always be with us. You will provide for our needs. You know the things that we need. You have promised to see us through difficult situations and troubles. You will, Lord. But will we have the faith and the trust in you? That's the only question. But help us, Lord, in our weakness. You know that we are frail. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Help us to maintain that peace in our hearts and to grow strong in our faith and trust in you. That peace may abound and we may never lose it. So that no matter what's going on around us, we could be in the midst of turmoil, but we will have peace in our hearts because of you, the Lord our God, the awesome, almighty, invincible God who loves us so dearly. We thank you, Lord. May you make it so. In Jesus' name, amen. Our last hymn.